Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 426, the stanzas 7, 9, and 10. What shall I render to Jehovah now for all the riches of his consultation? With joy I'll take the cup of his salvation and call upon his name with thankful vow. And what follows? Psalter 426, the stanzas 7, 9, and 10. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 69, the verses 16 through 36. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 69, the verses 16 through 36. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. A reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. And the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servant shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal on this Lord's Day we may have the opportunity, the privilege to come up to thy courts, and we attempt to open our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee in the way of prayer and thanksgiving, to that end, well, thou grant the spirit thereto. Thou knowest of self, that we can bring forth nothing pleasing unto thee, that it must all come from above. May we be humbled under thy goodness, where thou yet maketh a difference, such a great difference, with most of the dwellers upon the earth. And Lord, may it be the riches of thy goodness and long-suffering and forbearance that leadeth us and our children to that true repentance and that true saving faith, to believe in thy Son for the pardoning of sins. Thou was granted in this morning hour that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper may be administered by renewal, and then in this evening hour, and then we are all called to reflect upon what has transpired. All the confessing members, they have made a confession. We remember our boys and girls and our young people. Thou also knowest how they have sat in their bench. May there have been among them that have sat with a holy jealousy and a cry unto thee, the living God, that they may belong to thy people. Lord, then thou wast given guests, and in this evening called upon to reflect how it was before at the table, and how it is in this evening hour, called upon to examine whether they had a wedding garment that was merited and given by thee. The bride of old has declared, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And to that end, may it not only be a reflection service, but may it truly be a post-communion service, at that sweet communion, Lord, with thee, and also a service of thanksgiving. Oh, of that bewonderment, that bowing, and with that vehement desire that thy great and worthy name may be lifted up, may be extolled, and that thou may work mightily, lovingly, irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. For those that have remained in the benches, thou knowest how it was, maybe not even feeling the need to be converted, Lord. Shoot then an arrow in their hearts, that in this evening hour they may truly become unconverted and begin to seek thee. Lord, thou knowest whether there were those seekers that have so stood outside, writing bitter things against themselves too great, and yet a jealousy for that true people of God. Lord, work lovingly in the hearts of young and old. Bless thy word in the church. Bless thy word in the family circles. Bless thy word in our Christian school. Shall be the last week, Lord, wilt thou remember, wilt thou help. Grant traveling mercies, an impression of thy goodness. And remember our students when they are called upon to write different exams. Thou knowest what a mountain it can be. Thou wast given to the one more talents than the other. May the students be diligent with their studies and given to bow their knees, that it may please thee to help them and to make it an easy task. We commend unto thee thy church. We remember the candidate with his wife, with everything that lays before him. Wilt thou be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that goes before, special tokens that thou knowest of them. We commend unto thee the persecuted church, the Jewish people, mission work, our mission field, thy servants and the team, and the family that soon hopes to be sent to our mission field. May it all be carried upon the wings of prayer. Lord, remember our nation. Remember our province. Remember our community. Grant yet a turning back unto thy word and the old paths. Because when there is no turning back, then thy judgments shall surely come. Thou art so long-suffering, but thy long-suffering shall come to an end. May we and our children be given to see the signs of the times, and that we may be given to hasten to find that hiding place under the sheltering wings of King Jesus. Then we can live, and then we can die, Lord. Impress continually upon our hearts that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, and what is necessary to attend the Lord's Supper that is necessary to appear before thee. Oh, thou art still gathering thy church, And thou wast promised to work from generation to generation. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. We commend unto thee the couple who were united in holy matrimony this past week. Make them a blessing for one another, a blessing in the midst of the family circles, a blessing in the church, and a blessing in the community, and on their first Lord's Day together as husband and wife. May it please thee to bless thy word to their hearts. We commend unto thee all widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and dear ones to the grave. Remember the elderly ones in the care home, those that may care for them, and also those that may still go in and out, all under the physician's care. Remember the handicapped ones. Wilt thou bless the family circles? We remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, we now humbly ask thee that thou may remember and bless us in this evening hour with thy special help and with thy special presence, thy special favor. Do open thy holy word, and that thou may work lovingly with thy spirit, wilt thou so remember each and every one. Go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling. Lord, we have nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and manifold, but look down upon us in mercy. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 175, the four stanzas. Come, all ye people, bless our God, and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life. And what follows, Psalter 175, the four stanzas. In this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 69, the verses 30 through 36. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas, and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there, and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Our text words speak of the solemnest thanksgiving concerning the Lord's salvation, with three thoughts. In the first place, the psalmist's magnification. Secondly, the psalmist's compassion. And thirdly, the psalmist's affirmation. The psalmist's thanksgiving concerning the Lord's salvation. The psalmist magnification, and then it concerns God in the verses 30 and 31. The psalmist compassion concerning his neighbor, the verses 32 and 33. The psalmist affirmation concerning the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the verses 34 through 36. Thus first, the psalmist magnification. Beloved congregation, we may come together in this evening hour to reflect upon what has transpired in this morning hour, when the sacrament of the Lord's Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ was administered in our midst. And then there are many matters which we could speak of, boys and girls, young people. Of course, you did not have a church rite, but may ask you, how have you sat in your bench in this morning hour? Were your hearts a little touched? Was there a little jealousy? And have you sent up a prayer to the Lord? Those that have remained in their bench have also made a confession. And how was it in your bench? Were you troubled? Were you concerned? Also a prayer. Also Matthew 10, the verses 32 and verse 33. There is a people upon the earth that have been exercised much, with those text, he that confesseth me before men, I will confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he that denieth me before men, I will deny before my Father which is in heaven. The great judgment day. Then it shall be a perfect separation, and then to examine the wedding garment that the Lord has a people upon the earth that is much exercised with that garment, what it consists in. But we must come to our text, and then the last six verses of this solemn, the last seven verses, they are verses of thanksgiving. Then in this solemn, then it is declared that in the work of true conversion, for that know and must know of it. In the first place, that the Lord knows of it. That's where salvation originates. We have heard of thy salvation, and what a struggles there can be in the life of souls, especially where the Lord has worked more in a gradual way, that it can be the question, Lord, hast thou now really begun? Or have I begun? Providential circumstances, a little softer character, emotion, and then how often the prayer can be, Lord, if thou wast not begun, wilt thou begin this day? Because I cannot live, I cannot die without thee. And then in the second place, and then the sinner shall know it. Do not think, congregation, that you can be converted without knowing it. Because it shall be experienced in the heart. Does that mean that when the Lord begins that good work, that such a one immediately says, I am now converted? Oh, it is such a mysterious work. But a sinner knows that it has become different. That there has come such a great change, that their desires and their longings go out after the living God. Oh, there can be such a riddles and such a perplexities. Think of that Rebecca, an expectant mother. She shall know, she shall feel that she is expecting. And so it is with the work of the Holy Ghost. Rebecca, in Genesis 25, verse 22, and then she has went to the Lord and said, why am I thus? Thus the Lord, the sinner, then we have two. Then we mention the devil. Or do you think, congregation, that the devil, when he sees that the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that he is robbed of a subject, and that he shall silently look on? No. then the devil shall do everything in his power, shall not be able. But the devil knows much. He knows the word of God. But the devil does not know who was written in the book of the Lamb. And therefore, John Bunyan, in his Pilgrim's Progress, has written of those matters of that warfare with the devil. Thus then we have three. The Lord, the sinner, and the devil. And the third, that is our neighbor, cannot remain hidden. A former minister of England, Roland Hill, has stated, if your wife, your husband, your children, your cat and dog cannot see it and are not better for it, then do not speak of the grace of God. Of course, many a times, because they read in Psalm 83 of those hidden ones, and when we are under the truth, then outwardly, not anything should have to change. Could mention many examples. We must not think, congregation, that young men and older men may go to the bar or have parties with drunkenness when we are unconverted. And when we are converted, then it may not be. That must never be our thought. And then when we speak of those things, then girls and women, then I do not include your name. I think you know the reasons. Oh, we could mention many things. For girls, when they are unconverted, does not mean that they may cut off their glory or make it semi-short or half-long, because it is clearly written in the Bible that the Lord has given her long hair for her covering, this congregation. Let us never think that when we are unconverted, we may have more liberty to sin. But when the Lord begins that good and precious work, then it becomes so different. And at the beginning, we can do our best to hide it, but then it shall be seen. Ah, then such a one many times becomes quiet, like that thief on the cross. Many times such a one will seek places of seclusion. Oh, then it can be that fathers and mothers, their bookshelf, that they see here and there a book missing, that their children, that they have taken that book secretly to their bedroom, that they may read how that the Lord truly converts his people, how that they may be partakers thereof. And now in this psalm, then we read of the solemnest thanksgiving concerning the Lord's salvation. Does not mean only at the end, but that thanksgiving, that gratitude, when the Lord works, that becomes evident in our life, and it shall be seen, perhaps, at the beginning more by our walk than by our talk. I read in Judges 8 verse 18 that there were two kings, Ziba and Zalmunna, whom Gideon has captured, and they have slain some of his brothers. And then Gideon has asked those two kings what they look like. And then those two kings said, as thou art, they resemble the children of a king. And in Acts 4 verse 13, when Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin, then we read that they perceived that they had been with Jesus. And in Romans 8 verse 9, it is written that when we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. And in verse 29, that the church is predestinated that they may become conformable to the image of Christ. And now concerning that thanksgiving, then we have already heard many evidence of that thanksgiving. Oh, is it not in the way of thanksgiving when the dove of Christ, oh, even in the secret place of the stairs in the clefts of the rock, ashamed, black, covered with cobwebs, when that dove is given to cry unto the Lord, because Christ has said that the voice is sweet, when such a dove may come with all their blessings, with their needs, and with their sins, therein the Lord is praised. Then we have heard of a waiting soul. Is there in the Lord not acknowledged and praised when such a soul may be given? Oh, it is true. In that time of waiting, they learn what impatient creatures they are. We could speak of many things further. When the psalmist has confessed, Lord, thou knowest my foolishness and sins. When a soul in a brightness, and when it flows out of an impression of the majesty and holiness of God, when such a soul may be given to bow with a confession of their sin and a hating and fleeing of sin, the Lord is praised. Further, we have heard that the psalmist was a stranger among his brethren. It was because of a life close to the Word of God. I have read of William Carey, had two sisters, very close. But when William Carey was converted, that his sisters thought that his brother was too precise and too strict. But those sisters were also converted. And then they were given to see it differently. Further, when the psalmist was given to say, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Oh, with that zeal for the reverence and honor of their God, further, sackcloth, it shall become evident in our outward walk. Oh, when the psalmist was given to declare, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee. When he was given to speak of that loving kindness, of the multitude of his mercies. But now in our text, then we read, I will praise the name of God with a song. 'Tis remarkable that the psalmist does not say then, there are souls that know what I mean, those desiring souls, and that they think, if I may receive this blessing of further leading and that assurance, when I may be pardoned of my sin, when I may receive that wedding garment, then I will extol the Lord to the highest. But that we do not read in our text. He simply says, I will praise. Does not say, may it be given. Oh, the church learns it needs to be given. Need to learn that the true praise, that is a gift that Christ has merited and which he grants to his people by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. So the psalmist, because we have heard this morning, but I am poor and sorrowful, let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. That means the psalmist was given to see much of that salvation, given to wait, but he was given to wait for a further blessing, but he was given to see so much of that salvation, and that there is a place on high, that is a place to be with the Lord, and that his heart was given to overflow, and he was given to say, I will praise the name, I will praise the name of God with a song. And that word praise in the Hebrew, that makes to make to shine, that means to boast and commend. I will praise the name of God with a song. And when the psalmist says, I will praise the name of God, then we can understand that includes everything that belongs to God. Boys and girls, when your name is mentioned, then everything that you do is connected to your name. Also at school, whether you've tried to use your talents well, and we are not talking about the mark you get, but whether you have done your best, and whether you have tried to make your teacher happy, to obey, maybe the last day, boys and girls, you have to make up a little bit. I hope you do your best. The last days, but when your name is mentioned, then everything connected with you is included in that name. And so in the psalmist, and we have the same with the first petition in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, then that name of God, that includes his essence, his being, all his attributes, and all his works, in providence and in grace. I will praise the name of God with a song. And then his heart was so enlarged. Then he is stated and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And our boys and girls know what a magnification glass is. When we look through it the one way, then it makes it look bigger and closer by. When we speak, when the psalmist has said, and magnify thy name, then he did not mean that the Lord could be made greater, because the Lord is infinitely perfect, unchangeable, omnipresent, thus the Lord can never be made greater, because in him there is an eternal fullness. But when the psalmist speaks in such a way, then it was his vehement desire that for his own soul and mind, but also for his neighbor, that the Lord may be extolled to the highest. And then he has added, this also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or bullock, that of horns and hoofs. Also, thus that does not mean that the bullock with hoofs and horns, that it is not important. Thus our duties required of the Lord, but without a heart that loves and fears the Lord, then it is too short. Thus the psalmist was given to express with the offerings that were brought, required the command of the king, but a heart that loves, that serves, and the desire to praise the Lord. Our second thought, the psalmist compassion. Then the psalmist with an enlarged heart, first exercised with God's glory. But then the psalmist was given to speak and given to think of his fellow man with similar exercises, with similar desires. And then the psalmist, when he begins, then he says, the humble shall see this. Thus the psalmist does not speak as a Pharisee to that publican in the back of the temple. But with that word humble, he includes himself. And in the margin of our Bible, then the translators has put that it could also be translated as meek. Thus then in this verse, then we have the third beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And now concerning the meek, that speaks of lowly ones, needy ones, and even depressed ones. And then the psalmist is given to express the humble, those lowly ones, many times discouraged, write bitter things against themselves. Their sins rise up against them. The humble shall see this and be glad. Of course, the church learns more and more. Oh, we have the examples. Think of that Mary Magdalene, weeping at the grave, Mary, Rabboni, tell my brethren. Ah, then that Mary Magdalene, with what a love, with what expressions she must have told the disciples and the others that the risen Savior had appeared unto her, and yet they did not take it over. Think of the disciples. Oh, when Christ has appeared to his church in the evening of the resurrection, then they have went the next day to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Oh, surely they thought, now Thomas, now he shall be given to believe. The church learns the necessity of the application of the Holy Spirit, a nevertheless a blessed place. The solemnest, the humble shall see this and be glad. And what an encouragement it can be for those humble ones. That is a mark of grace. Humility. Be wonderment. Because people, when the Lord works, then there are those times that the church is given to be wondered, the free and sovereign grace of God. And that when it is possible for them, then it is possible for all. And then how their hearts can go out and be exercised with those humble ones, with those poor and sorrowful ones, because the church, that sorrow, that godly sorrow, still exercised, but it is so sorely missed. People of God, how long has it been ago that you have shed a few tears? Psalm 56 verse 8, put thy tears into my bottle. Oh, the tears of godly sorrow. Think of the psalmist, Psalm 119, sometime called the ABC of the Christian. 176 verses. And in verse 136, this past three quarters, rivers of water run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law, not excluding those tears, our own sins, backsliding, unthankfulness. They're also tears, because they read in Zechariah 12 verse 10 that they shall mourn for him whom they have pierced. When the child of God is given to see what it has cost that beloved bridegroom to merit salvation, the love, the willingness of Christ Jesus, tears of joy, of thankfulness, natural life, when there is a meeting by renewal. Maybe you remember Vreugde Hills church history, a picture of Zwingli bidding farewell to his dear wife and four children, ready to go on the battlefield, likely never to meet one another. Think in the time of war, when a father and husband has returned, do you think when it was well congregation that they have just shaken hands, maybe a hug, and stated the Lord is good, may we be thankful, and went on their way? No, then surely they have wept upon one another, and also by renewal. And the true life of grace, when a soul may experience those special blessings, those special deliverances, when they may be set on high, when the bride may be given to experience that he kisseth me with the kisses of his mouth, and his love is better than wine, as shall there then not be tears? The humble shall see this and be glad. What an encouragement it can be for those humble ones when they are given to hear and see that the Lord has in a special way remembered other humble ones. And it is true. Then it can be sooner or later that the devil, and the devil many times works with her heart or unbelief, special light to discern, and that there is a voice that says, see, another humble one. The Lord has visited, granted a special blessing, confirmed it, and you have begged so long and waited with those desires and so many riddles and impossibilities. Then the psalmist is given to address, goes a little further, because then he says, and your heart shall live that seek God. What are we seeking for congregation? Have we become a God seeker? Have we learned what we miss? Not only what we lost. Lost the image of God. We lost God in paradise. But now by the work of the Spirit that we learn what we have lost and that we become a missing people. And your heart shall live that seek God. That people seek Him on their knees. That people seek Him in His Word. That people seek Him in His house. And in that seeking, they shall experience that they seek not in vain. That people is given to find many goodly pearls. And those pearls are so precious. But we read of that in Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46. We read of those daughters of Jerusalem that they also had their beloveds. But what must those seekers now learn? Thy salvation, that with all those goodly pearls, and they would not want to trade them with the world, no. Rather remain a seeker. And there are times with those goodly pearls that they may be given to praise and extol God to the highest with the gifts. But those seekers need to learn. We have heard of thy salvation that with those goodly pearls they cannot pay their debt. And therefore the necessity that they may find the pearl of great price, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the psalmist goes lower yet. Oh, a heart full of love for the psalmist. Same thing with Paul. 1 Timothy 1:15. And this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Not only was chief, still I am chief. The church learns there is grace for me. No impossible cases. And shall the Lord by His Spirit now grant those blessed exercises, make them seekers, make them a dove, a mourning dove, And shall they then mourn in vain? Oh, then I hear a soul say, no, that shall never and can be. May there be a soul that may apply to themselves. Because Christ has said, O my dove, the cleft of the rock in the secret places of the stair, and therefore the psalmist comes lower yet. For the Lord heareth the poor. And that is a different word in the Hebrew than in verse 29. That word in verse 33, the poor, that means to be destitute. That means to become a beggar. Because there can be poor people. In third world countries, there are poor people that are poor indeed, but they can still eat and provide, and they are quite satisfied with their poverty. But now in verse 33, that is a deeper word. That is one that has truly become a beggar, and of course there can be proud beggars. And there can be beggars that still have quite a bit. But this word truly refers to the poor. And despiseth not his prisoners. Thus what do we read in these text words? That the psalmist, that he has experienced the wonderful leadings of the Lord. And that for those seekers, when you speak to them and try to give them a little instruction, that they have many buts, seem so great as so impossible. There can be many fears, and therefore the psalmist, he has come lower and lower. First the humble, and then, and your heart shall live that seek God. There is a people that have become a seeker that they cannot deny has become the most important. And further, to become poor and poor. Oh, the ever-rich God. But it is the work of the Spirit to empty, to fill. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty ye may be rich, and then even further yet, and despiseth not his prisoners. We hear of the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted ones, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison door to them that are bound. Let us first sing. Psalter 88, the three stanzas. The Lord I will at all times bless, in praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast, the meek shall hear what joy and what follows. 88 to 3 stanzas. The solemnest thanksgiving concerning the Lord's salvation. The solemnest magnification, the solemnest compassion, and now the solemnest affirmation. And after the solemnest has spoken to those humble, those seeking and those poor souls, then it is, as it were, that the psalmist has also invited those poor ones to join in with in that thanksgiving for what the Lord has promised to his people. And no, not to rest in the promise. We need his salvation. And then with an enlarged heart, then he is called, oh, he has felt that he was so unable, with the desire to receive a tongue of an angel to declare the glory of his God, the work of a triune God. And therefore he has said, let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. Not time to explain it. Verse 34, that is so beautiful explained and declared in Psalm 148. So boys and girls, before you go to sleep, then you can read from Psalm 148. And then the psalmist has mentioned so many things that must or are given to praise the Lord. Then in verse 7, stormy winds fulfilling his word. Maybe, boys and girls, you have seen a picture of those funnel clouds that reveals the power of the Lord. Oh, in America, there are some states running in a southeasterly direction that is called a tornado alley. That during the summer season, many powerful tornadoes where the Lord shows a little of his majesty. But then in Psalm 148, then especially verse 12, and there the psalmist is given to say, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them all praise the Lord. Do we have a little beginning? And concerning that praise, not only with their lips, but also with their walk, not time to explain it. And then the psalmist is given to speak of wonderful things. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah that they may dwell there and have it in possession. My unconverted fellow travelers, what a precious text. For God will save Zion. Use the means faithfully. Beg the Lord. Christ is still gathering a church by word and by spirit in the third night vision of Zechariah. There was a young man with a tape measure to measure the city of Jerusalem. And then the prophet has declared that city would be inhabited, that the cattle would be provided for, and that the Lord would be a fiery wall round about Jerusalem, and will build the cities of Judah that they may dwell there and have it in possession. And then the seed also of his servants shall inherit it. May we be given to turn these texts into prayer. Lord has given some guests, but so many still in their benches. And to that end, the seed of a servant shall inherit it. When we have mentioned a few thoughts which the psalmist has spoken to his fellow man, then that word includes or excludes the humble, not saying humble enough. Ah, those humble ones, they have much difficulties with pride. When they even have the thought that they are humble, then that humility is gone already. But the Lord knows how to keep them humble, and a seeker, a poor, a prisoner, then there can be those souls. What a struggle it can be. Am I now a real humble one? Has the Lord now begun? Have I now become a real seeker? Perhaps sought so long already, and still a missing soul. Do I now really belong to those poor? Have I now really become a beggar? Am I now a true prisoner? Then the psalmist, then he is thinking of those questions, of course, all by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But then at the end of this psalm, and then we can examine our hearts, each and every one, then the psalmist says, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. How is it with that love congregation? If we love someone, we shall know it. And there shall be exercises, the true people of God. They love the Lord, his attributes, his day, his house, is their desire, that is their life, his people. They may say, notwithstanding all their riddles and their sin and their unbelief, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. That is now the question, congregation. Love can cover sin, but we need that salvation, not to rest in it. But how is it now with that love? What a solemn word that Paul has written to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The old John in his three epistles was given to speak more of the fruits. And then he has written, 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him because he has loved us first. And as a fruit thereof, in chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's day and for thy help. May thou also be the after preacher, that we may return to our homes and examine according to thy word how it is traveling to that never-ending eternity, O Lord. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in this week, in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we are called to be, wilt thou keep from harm and danger. Remember the school board when they hope to meet in this week. We commend unto thee the families that have settled in a neighboring province. Wilt thou remember and bless them? Thou knowest what has been planned. May it all prosper in thy hand, that it may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Lord, we may acknowledge thee for the moisture which thou hast given upon the thirsty earth. Some places more, some have suffered loss, some have received very little. May it please thee to gladden us. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings? Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 399, the stanzas 2 and 4. To every generation thy glory shall be told, thy honor and thy majesty in memory I will hold. And what follows, Psalter 399, the stanzas 2 and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.